stir up your power, and with great might come among us. Today, I'm sure you know, is the third Sunday of Advent. It has also been called Stir Up Sunday, which comes from the collect of the day. We pray that God will stir up or strengthen our hearts and faith. It's like the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit stirred up all of the disciples and called them to a renewed faith and a deepened experience of the Holy Spirit in their lives. There are times when the church is inspired to strengthen their faith and walk in love as Christ loved us. The third Sunday of Advent is also called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. That's why we light the pink candle. Now, I used to say, I won't today, but I used to say that the reason we have a pink candle was they were hoping for a girl. But that may not be true. Here, wouldn't it be fun, a female Messiah? Well, there you are.
She'd get things done.
Anyway, better get moving on. Okay. Here in the midst of Advent, with our candles brightening week after week, we rejoice in the coming birth of Jesus and the return of Christ in the Lord's time. The Lord's time is not governed by dates and calendars, but by the will of God alone. It is His right time. Things happen, and they do happen, even in the church, but things happen when the Lord calls them into being, when His time is fulfilled. We cannot make it happen. We can only respond to it, living radically in the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. Radical discipleship and love leads us into the kingdom of God. The time is right when God's will and purpose are fulfilled. We've come to that today in the readings. Jesus has begun to preach and teach and heal. His ministry is filled with miracles and wonders that will never be forgotten. It's a blessing when we realize that 2,000 years of living out the gospel leads us to feel like it's only been a short time. Indeed, every convert, every disciple, every baptized person represents the renewal of the church seeking to follow Jesus' path of salvation. Blessed are those who saw and heard Jesus in the Holy Land. What a wonderful thing it would be, wouldn't it, if we lived in that time and that we could follow Jesus when he walked on the earth. Blessed are we that the gospel has come down through each generation, handed down from family to family, neighbor to neighbor, and friend to friend. In this time, after the Good News Festival yesterday, which was quite something, I have to tell you, if you weren't able to be there, and a part of it, and I understand it's online as well, so you have a chance to see it and hear some of the great sermons. I pray we realize in this time after the Good News Festival, pray that we realize how important our faith is. We may not know precisely how we entered into this faith. We may not know who brought us to the hearing of the gospel. Some, however, can tell you the day and the hour, the moment, the place where they were standing. They can tell you all of these things when they turn their life over to Jesus Christ. They can tell you hour by hour that something powerful and transformative has entered our lives. Perhaps your faith came down like a flooding river, overflowing the banks of your hearts. Some others may know not how it got here, but they give thanks for its presence and purpose in our lives. It may enter our lives in a radical conversion, or it may appear like the wrestling of Jacob with the angel, difficult, painful, yet decisive. It came to you in God's time and for God's purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it was difficult, obviously, for John the Baptist, as we see in the gospel today. John, it is thought, was a close relative of Jesus. They may have known each other very well, just as Mary and Elizabeth did. I can imagine that the two men watched each other grow up from childhood and perhaps discussed their understanding of God's will for them in their lives. There is so much hidden in traditions and writings, but their connection is undeniable. And John, in today's gospel, was in trouble. He had spoken openly of the sins and the rebellion that he saw. King Herod of Galilee was guilty of many things, and John condemned his behavior openly. For Herod had seduced his brother's wife, divorced his own wife, and married his sister-in-law, and John the Baptist was going to have none of that. It's not surprising that Herod placed John in a deep dungeon in the mountains near the Dead Sea. It would be a great place for him not to be heard of again or for a very long time. And here John must have wondered about the meaning of his mission. He likely questioned his future, what it might hold, and how long will he languish in prison. It's not surprising that John wondered about Jesus, therefore, and his mission to Israel. John knew that many of his disciples were now following Jesus, and there is word that people have begun to call him the Anointed One, the Messiah. In his lonely cell, John had to wonder if it was true. And he sent a message to him. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? It was as if he were saying, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus gave John the Baptist the answer he must have been looking for. Go back and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. These words echo Isaiah's prophecy of healing and redemption, of a highway for the Lord coming in the Lord's time. And ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Everlasting joy and gladness is promised by the Lord. In the midst of John's suffering and uncertainty of John's life in this world, God has not forgotten him. He has not forgotten us, and his kingdom is coming still. We know how John's story ends, in this sin and jealousy that led to John's death. What a pathetic and empty victory Herodias had when she demanded that John the Baptist's head be brought to her on a platter. I believe that in the end, John's faith was rewarded through the message of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is indeed the one. I believe that God gave us his Son so that we may become children of God, seeking to live in faithfulness and love. There are times that I might think like John the Baptist. There are times when I've been filled with doubt or confusion. You may have had doubts about your own faith from time to time. It's not easy to live in the faith of God, knowing that many people walk today with little or no thought about Jesus at all, and this makes me sad. So, Lord God, stir up your power, and with great might come among us. Stir up your faithfulness here today and in churches everywhere. We believe, Lord, we believe that Jesus is one, the one for us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.